Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried.
He descended to hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended to heaven
and sits on the right hand of the Father Almighty.
From whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. It's exciting to be able to share this message with you, even though, as you're watching this video, it probably means that I've had surgery and am out of action. But thank you for your prayer, for your support for us as a family and for one another. Please continue to pray for each other, support each other, encourage each other. For anyone who doesn't know, basically I've had a melanoma spread to a lymph gland, and the surgery was to remove all of the lymph glands around that part of my body, around the groin, upper leg, 10 to 20 glands, they say. But right now I believe I am recovering in hospital, and just really appreciate your support for each other through this time. Especially for Rach as she oversees some pastoral things, and Beck as she oversees administratively things that are happening in the church. We have a wonderful team though. Look around you, all your brothers and sisters in Christ. You are blessed to be among such amazing people. So I just want to pray right now for us this morning and for you as I recover from this operation. It could be a month or two before I'm back on deck. So please, let's just pray together now. Lord God, we just thank you so much that you love us, that you know us completely, Lord God, that you understand more about us than we know ourselves. Lord God, I just pray for my own healing, God. I pray, God, that you would heal my body and make me strong and well again, God. And Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your body. I thank you, God, for your church, that you are the head of your body. And Lord, I just thank you for what you're going to be doing over these coming weeks as your people live out the calling that you have for us as your people, as your body. And Lord, I just pray you'd give us all patience and Lord, hearts full of praise that want to live out a life that's worthy of your calling, God, I pray. And Lord, I just pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts, just bring your encouragement, speak into lives and situations through all the things that we go through, God. I just thank you for this word that you've put on my heart to share with your people this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, you know I can't hear you right now, but please, let's respond as God's stirring your heart this morning. Say amen and engage with me, even through video. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 17. And I'm going to try and click through these on the screen as we go through this morning, but here we go. Acts chapter 17, verse 24 to 31. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Now, remembering this is the context of this passage is that Paul is in Rome. He's speaking to the people in Athens, and he's talking about to the statue to the unknown God. and verse 29. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen or from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sin and turn to him. For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. This morning we're continuing to look at our series on the Apostles' Creed, Together We Believe. And it's this statement that was written in the 3rd century. It was a summary of the teaching of the Apostles, a summary of the core aspects of the Christian faith. And it's interesting, as we look at this week's topic, we see the first of the statements that hasn't yet come to pass. It's talking about something that is yet to come. Let's have a look at the statements we've looked at so far for a moment. We started off in week one talking about, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. In week two, we talked about, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Virgin Mary. And it was, I believe Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. Then Rach talked about a couple of weeks ago, I believe on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father Almighty. And this morning our key part of the Apostles' Creed we're going to look at is, I believe he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Point number one this morning, church. Number one, Jesus will come again to judge the world. He is coming back. There's no doubt about it. He said he was going to come back, and he is coming back. I find it really interesting, though, that we live in a world that is so passionate about justice. Social justice, animal justice, climate justice. We live in a world that is passionate about justice. Have a think for a moment about what are the first words that most kids learn to speak? Okay, mum, dad, dog, cat maybe, bird, whatever it might be. But what's one of the other first words that kids learn to speak as they're growing up? I'll give you a clue. It starts with N and ends in O. No. Every kid learns pretty early on how to say the word no. They use it in all kinds of different scenarios, don't they? No, don't take that toy away. No, I don't want to eat my vegetables. No, I don't want to go there. No, I don't want to do this. No, I don't want to get out of the bath. No, that's not fair. Kids learn that phrase pretty early on. It's pretty natural. I wonder if you've ever heard a kid say, that's not fair. Maybe you've heard plenty of adults say, that's not fair. Or maybe you've heard this phrase, his piece is bigger than mine. I'm not talking about our kids. They never argue about that kind of thing. No, no. Love you guys. Every time you hear those words, it's not fair. His piece is bigger than mine. And when you hear people complaining about the injustice of this world, we are being reminded that we are made in the image of God and that our God is a God of justice. But then it's interesting. We find this problem. We live in a world passionate about justice, but so many people seem to struggle with the concept or the idea of God's justice, that God will judge all people. And I wonder, why is that? Are we faking it? Do we really not really care about justice after all? We don't really want justice to come for everyone. Or I wonder if maybe it's more so that we've seen other people's injustice and we fear that maybe God's justice won't be fair. Maybe I'm going to be judged in a way that's not kind. Maybe God's going to judge in a way that's not compassionate. And we see other people's injustice and think maybe God's like that. As a kid, I used to, Mum and Dad used to read me a series of books called Noddy. And maybe some of you, anyone ever read the book Noddy? Yeah, okay. And I can't remember all the different characters, but I remember Noddy and Big Ears, they're good buddies. And one day, Big Ears says to Noddy, I can't remember what the context was, but he says to Noddy something like, Noddy, if you had eight apples and you shared them with little Timmy down the road. I can't remember who the character really was, but if you and Timmy shared 8 apples, he says to Noddy, how many would you get? And Noddy doesn't even take a breath. He says, I would get none, because Timmy would take all the apples. And for some of us, that's our experience, that when we see people taking things, when we see people doing things unjustly, we experience that, and then we wonder, oh, what's different about God's justice? Point number 2 this morning, God is a good judge. Have a listen to what it says in Psalm 96, verse 12 and 13. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest rustle with praise before the Lord, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with his truth. God is a good judge, and he will judge with truth. He will judge in righteousness. He will judge with mercy and with grace, but he will judge the world. Now, it's at this point that some people might want to point to passages like Matthew 25, where it talks about how Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats. He'll separate those that are truly his followers and those who aren't. And the question is, how does he separate the sheep from the goats? He talks about how away from me those who didn't care for people. He says, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was naked, I was sick, I was imprisoned, and you never visited me, you never helped me. And it kind of sounds like it's all about how we treat each other. But that is not the point. That is not the message of Matthew 25. It's not, do this and you'll earn forgiveness. That is not the message of Matthew 25. It's pointing out that if we truly have faith, that we will be changed, that we will live life differently if we are truly following Jesus. Just before that in Matthew, it talks about the parable of the talents. So he says, don't just bury your gift. Don't just bury what you've been given, the message you've heard. Use it, invest it, apply it to your life. Don't bury this gift that God has given you, the message of hope through Jesus Christ. It's by grace that we are saved through faith. God's saying our love for one another. God says our love for one another is an evidence of what's already happened within us. As we love one another, the world will know that we are his disciples. We aren't his disciples because we love each other. It's as we love one another, the world will know that we are his disciples. The reality is we can work really, really hard to try and be good and try and do good things and earn something that we can actually never earn. When God is simply waiting for us to humbly cry out to him. We all need his forgiveness. We all need his mercy and grace. We cannot earn it. He just simply waits for us to ask. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I wonder if you've ever had one of those school fundraisers. Maybe it's been like one of those sock drives, or you're selling chocolates or whatever it might be. And you know, they always have these incentives. It's like, if you sell 2 million boxes of chocolates, 2 million pairs of socks, you can get a brand new free Nintendo. All you've got to do is sell 2 million pairs of socks. And it might not quite be 2 million, but it's always some crazy big amount. And just imagine for a moment that you get so excited. You get like, wow, I can get a free Nintendo. I can get this thing that I've so desired for so long. And you work so hard. You go door knocking. You go to every street in Colac. You go to every house in the neighborhood. You go out to other towns. You go out to Birragara. You go to Camperdown. You go down to Apollo Bay. You go to Lawn. And you knock on every door. And you know, after you've visited every door and every home, you still haven't sold enough. So you set up a website and you start selling these socks online, trying to get enough. But I just wonder if maybe instead of trying to work so hard to sell your 2 million pairs of socks, actually, if you actually just went to the people who love you and said, Mom, Dad, uncles and aunties, grandparents, my heart's desire is that I get a Nintendo. Please, would you help me save up and to buy this Nintendo? That maybe all the work would be for nothing because you're never going to get there. But if you actually came to the ones who love you, you would receive that gift, that thing. Maybe you could earn it, maybe you'd buy it. It's a little bit the same. It's a bad analogy of what God wants us to do. We cannot earn his forgiveness, but he desires for us to receive it. But all we must do is come to him in humility and ask him. Turn away from our sin and come follow him. Have a listen to Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 10 to 20. It says this, "Son of man, give the people of Israel this message. You are saying, 'Our sins are heavy upon us. We are wasting away. How can we survive?' As surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people." Hear that again. God speaking, "As surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live. Turn, turn from your wickedness, O people of Israel. Why should you die? Son of man, give your people this message. The righteous behavior of righteous people will not save them if they turn to sin, nor will the wicked behavior of wicked people destroy them if they repent and turn from their sin. When I tell righteous people that they will live, but then they sin, expecting their past righteousness to save them," hear that again, "expecting their past righteousness to save them, then none of their righteous acts will be remembered. I will destroy them for their sin. And suppose I tell some wicked people that they will surely die, but then they turn from their sins and do what is just and right. For instance," it kind of reminds me of Jonah speaking to Nineveh. "For instance, they might give back a debtor's security, return what they have stolen, and obey my life-giving laws, no longer doing what is evil. If they do this, then they will surely live and not die. None of their past sins will be brought up again, for they have done what is just and right, and they will surely live. Your people are saying, 'The Lord isn't doing what's right,' but it is they who are not doing what is right. For again I say, when righteous people turn away from their righteous behavior and turn to evil, they will die. But if wicked people turn from their wickedness and do what is just and right, they will live. O people of Israel, you are not saying, 'The Lord,' O people of Israel, you are saying, 'The Lord isn't doing what's right,' but I judge each of you according to your deeds." You know, he's not saying that if you mess up, if you sin, if you give your life to Jesus, if you acknowledge your sin and cry out to God for forgiveness and you mess up, you go and do the wrong thing again, then you lose your salvation. That is not what he's saying. God is faithful even when we are not. But God knows our hearts. He understands us better than we know ourselves. He knows who our faith is in. Is our faith is in our own good deeds, in our own righteousness, that we've tried to earn God's grace? Or is our trust and our righteousness, our salvation from him? Are we trusting in what Jesus has done for us? The Bible says that our good deeds are like filthy rags. And if we're trying to count on our righteousness, on what we've done to receive God's mercy, we are no better off than the Pharisees. We are lost. We have lost the way. We have missed the truth of the gospel. Or are we trusting in God's righteousness given to us through Christ? Have a listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 8. Paul speaking. Paul says, "I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. As for me, Paul speaking, not believing this about myself. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near, says Paul. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. He is coming back. And the prize awaits. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. You know, God knows how long each and every one of us has on this earth. We don't know the day or the hour of his return. We do not know how many days, weeks, months, years, decades that we have left. And I want to make my life count for Christ. I want to make my life count for to share the message of hope that God has revealed to me through Jesus Christ. It's why I'm preaching this message to you today. I could have said, no, I'm out this week. I can't do it. But I want to preach the gospel. I want to share with people the hope that we have in Jesus every day that I have opportunity to do so. And God, help me today in my hospital bed in Melbourne, wherever I might be, wherever you go this week, help us, God, to make the most of the opportunities that we have. Over the past few months, I've been doing a bit of study on Revelation, the book of Revelation. Excuse me. And in our Bible formation class, through the middle of the year, we spent a couple of hours looking together at the book of Revelation. But can I just say, whatever your understanding, whatever your perspective is, your belief, whether you're a futurist, a praetorist, a historicist, or an idealist, or whatever your understanding of the book of Revelation is, if you missed out on those things, you can come to Bible formation next time. The message of Revelation is not, this is how the world will end. If we open the book of Revelation, we open it and try and read, God, how's the world How is the world going to end? We are going to totally miss the context and the understanding God wants us to receive as we read the book of Revelation. It was written, it says in verse 4 of chapter 1 in Revelation, it was written to the seven churches of Asia, Asia Minor, or modern day Turkey. It was written to a specific group of people with a message for them that is also an encouragement for us today. And that message was really clear. Paul was saying, John, as he writes, was writing saying, you know what, you guys are going through suffering. You are going through, there were crazy things happening as John wrote that message. And he knew the suffering they were going through and he said, yep, there are challenges ahead. There are challenges, you are going to suffer. There's going to be things happening in your life, but don't be surprised. Jesus is coming again. That is the message of Revelation. Don't be afraid. Don't be worried. Jesus is coming back. Don't give up. The resurrection's coming. And we can try and read the book of Revelation and think, oh, how's the end of the world going to come? But it is written as an encouragement to the church as we go through trials, as we go through challenges and suffering at times. We are reminded that Jesus is coming back, that the resurrection of the righteous is coming, and he's asking us, will we remain faithful? I don't want to go into Revelation any further, but we better leave it there. As Rach talked about a couple of weeks ago, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus has risen from the dead. He is the righteous judge, and he will judge the living and the dead. He is coming back. Over this series, we've been talking about the symmetry that we see as we look through the Apostles' Creed. And the reality is, some people live in fear of condemnation. They're always beating themselves up, saying, oh God, I'm not good enough. God, I'm not good enough. How could you love me? Some people live in that place. And some people live in a space that's on the pendulum other end of saying, you know what? It doesn't matter what we do. God loves us all. He forgives us all. God gives us grace, and God does love us, and He does forgive us by his mercy and grace. And there is a right and holy place of a righteous fear of God. But we're called to live in the middle of those things, knowing that we are forgiven by his grace. As we come to the cross and acknowledge that we have sinned and Jesus died in our place, we are called to now live a life in response to him, a life of righteousness for the glory of God. Let's not live in a place where we say it doesn't matter what we do, we'll just do whatever we want to do. Let's not live in a place of fear and worry about condemnation, because Christ has set us free from that we might live for the glory of God. I'm going to ask the band to come, and I just want to read one last passage to you this morning. It's been a crazy week, and even as I share this message with you now, I just pray that this morning you are reminded that we have a risen Savior, and we don't have to fear death, we don't have to fear judgment. There is a righteous judge, and he is coming to judge in justice, with mercy, with kindness, and he loves you. And I just want to finish this morning by reading this passage that we have looked at over the last few weeks in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll just read it with you now. Therefore, since God, in his mercy, has given us this new way, we never give up. Turn to the person beside you and say, we never give up. Now turn to the person on the other side and say it with a bit more conviction. We never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. Not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies, says Paul. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, "I believed in God, so I spoke." We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Can we stand this morning, church? Can we stand together? I just want to pray for us this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a merciful and kind and compassionate, loving God and Savior. And God, we thank you that we can trust you in your judgment, in your justice. And God, we come to you this morning and ask us, God, to take away any fears that we have, any worries, any cares. And God, help us to step forward in that place of trusting you, in joyful obedience and passionate living for your glory, God. Lord, we don't want to be like those righteous ones who try and live righteous lives to earn your forgiveness. God, we want to live in response to what you have done for us, knowing that our salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus. We want to live lives that honor you. Lord, we know we cannot earn your love. We do not want to just try and do things to earn your forgiveness. We know our righteousness comes from you. We are those evil ones who have done wicked things. But Lord, today and every day, Lord, we come to you knowing that our grace, our forgiveness is because of Christ and your death and resurrection from the cross. Lord Jesus, I just ask this morning that you would bring encouragement, God, that no matter what struggles we face, that you have the victory for us. That, Lord, whatever place we see people in, Lord, that there is an answer for them in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray today for us as your people, as your church. We just pray, Lord, over this second half of the year, Lord God, that you would use us as your people to help others know the truth that you are the one who came and gave your life for them. That they would know the hope of Jesus Christ in their hearts. That God, you would use us as your hands and feet to share about your mercy and your grace. That people would understand your justice and your mercy and your grace. And that they would come to you, that they would receive it, they would cry out to you, that they would not try and sell their 2 million pairs of socks. They would not try and earn it, God. But that we would simply come to the one who offers us forgiveness and mercy and grace. Lord Jesus, I just pray this morning for anyone here among us that they've never understood in the past what you've done for us, God. But I thank you, Jesus, that you simply wait for us to cry out to you. And right now, if that's you, I just want to encourage you just to say, you can just pray it quietly to God. It's between you and him. God, I'm sorry for the things that I've done. Maybe you don't fully understand what he's done. Maybe you don't fully understand all the things involved. Say, God, please help me to understand what you've done for me. God, I want to live a life in response to what you've done for me. The Bible says that anyone who comes to him will not be turned away. If you come to him with humility and acknowledge your sin, he will not turn you away. He loves you. We love you. We want to help you grow in this journey with God. And, you know, let's never forsake meeting together. As long as we are able, let's gather together as God's people and encourage each other, because we go through things and we need each other to encourage each other. God bless you. It's been so good to be able to share with you this morning. I pray you're being encouraged and continue to be encouraged over the weeks ahead. God bless you. Let's close with this song now. Thanks, guys.